to episode 65. I don't know what that was. Apparently, I just went through puberty. It's right there in front of your eyes in 5 seconds. I have hair in strange places. Divided by Werewolves. Man, we have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
We got movies. Yeah. We got some games. You know, all the typical bullshit. But more than anything, I want to hear, I was not one of the cool kids. I don't have the fucking VIP access, and I was supposed to get Jace was going to hook me up with friend code, but I know they had issues with the demo of actually giving people friend codes. So no, nothing against Jace. I know he had every intention of passing those along, but I did not get to play Anthem this past weekend. So I am hoping to, although I'm not fucking holding my breath for it, to play this weekend.
Right,
but yeah. Mr. Bones, you were one of the blessed few who got to play it.
I was, yeah. I'm a VIP in that I pay for EA Access every year and don't use it. I pay for EA Access so I can have Madden and NHL, and that's literally the only reason. Mm-hmm. I honestly forget that it's even there until the new Madden or NHL comes out. But yeah, I downloaded the demo for Anthem and guy, you know, I was like, people were texting me and shit like earlier in the weekend, like, is it working for you? And then Slick texted me and was like,
which console was it?
Xbox. Okay. PlayStation said no to EA Access.
I guess that makes sense.
They were like, you know, we got PlayStation Now or whatever it's called. We don't need your shit. Fuck off. And Xbox being in the position that Xbox is, it was like, please, yes, anything. So I played it on Xbox. But Slick had texted me on Sunday, like Sunday morning, and he was like, I played Anthem. And as a person who's played way more Destiny than me, I'm curious to know what your thoughts on it are. And I was like, oh, you know, I should probably play that. Because I kind of had downloaded it and kind of forgot about it. And
well, that's exactly why I want to hear it.
Yeah, so I booted it up and it crashed immediately after nice. I got it. So the first thing is you go into this area in every game where you walk up and talk to people and tell you on a mission and you leave. The tower in Destiny, as it were.
Right.
And I hate to make that comparison already because this game is not Destiny with jetpacks.
Sure.
But anyway. Immediately I go into the thing and I do what I always do and I switch the camera to inverted and I go back into the hub and the camera's not inverted.
Well, that's the universe telling you that you are a godless heathen.
Yeah.
And you should have your controls the right way.
Yeah, no, I disagree. So I'm looking at my feet or I'm staring straight up in the air and
it's like my wife playing Halo.
So I'm just looking at the mini map and walking towards the flashy thing because I can't see shit. So I get to the thing and talk to the guy and I get into my little mech suit and it sends me off my first little adventure or whatever the fuck they call them. And the game immediately crashes.
Nice.
So I was like, oh, we're off to a good start. So I shut it down and boot it back up. And I'm like, am I really going to have to walk through this hole? Because it's like you walk really fucking slow.
I had heard that.
And so I'm like, am I really going to have to walk all the way across this thing to this guy again? And it's like, oh, you had previously set up a thing. Do you want to continue that? And I was like, yes, I do. So I go into the game, and the way that I could best describe this game is, and you know, as everyone knows how I feel about Destiny, I feel Destiny is on a pedestal that few games will ever hope to achieve. This game is not so much Destiny, it's Warframe meets The Division. It's Warframe and The Division,
which isn't necessarily a bad combination.
No, it's absolutely not. Now the demo was fairly janky, which I was kind of like, ooh. Yeah. I'm surprised as close as this game is to coming out.
Well, they said it was like a 6-week-old build.
But I'm saying even to be that far out, I don't know. It's not as fluid as I would have liked. It's a gorgeous game. It is beautiful. The controls are okay, but some of the animations are kind of jerky. And I don't know, man. It was fun in the way that like – what was that fucking Evolve was fun at first.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it's such a good idea, and these guys did Left 4 Dead, and they know what they're doing, so they made a functional game, mm-hmm. but you're sitting there playing it by yourself, and you're like, you know, I can see where this would be fun with multiple people by yourself. I was just kind of like, man, this feels like a lot of work, and it's like playing The Division by yourself.
Right.
It's just not the same.
Yeah. Which I enjoyed, but not as much as playing with other people.
Right, because these enemies are kind of – these missions and enemies are kind of created with the idea that you're going to be playing this with 2 to 4 players. And, and by yourself, it's not as fun because the levels are so big and the enemies are so kind of sparsed out. And part of this game I know is a traversal, and like they want you to use your jetpack and do all these things. But like there were like times where it was like your objective is 2,400 meters away. And I was like, fuck.
Right.
Like, I have to go way over there just to kill a bunch of guys with life bars.
Right.
And then move to the next location that's 2,400 meters away.
Right.
So, it's very much The Division, but it looks, especially the customization of the javelins is almost exactly like Warframe.
Hmm. Which in and of itself, depending on what you play it on, has kind of a janky feel to it, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, like I said, I don't think it's something. Number one, I think EA is going to screw the pooch big time with this release, just like they always do. And it's the kind of thing that I honestly, just like Battlefield 5, I think it's going to be down to $40 probably relatively quickly. And, you know, if I have friends that are playing it at $40, I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't.
Well, you won't have to, though. Won't you get it?
Well, it depends. EA Access. I could get it for a discounted price on day one. I'll get...
It's not like Game Pass where they just add it, or do you have to wait?
No, you have to wait.
Oh, okay.
You have to wait, and they don't put everything in the vault.
I gotcha.
It's just a few things. You'll get a discount on the digital copy if you want to go that route day one. I can get, I think it's 10% off or something like that.
You probably get to play it early with their weird-ass release schedule.
You get that, and then also you'll get like usually like around 10 hours for free.
Okay.
I could play right off the bat. So,
yeah, I mean, my biggest thing about it is, and over the past few years, like, I really have just come to believe 100% that you just shouldn't pre-order games. Like, I did it for Destiny 2, and because I knew I was getting it, but, you know, the thing that bothered me most about this is they did not. Like, it would be one thing if they were like, hey, this is an alpha, or this is a beta. But to say, this is our VIP access demo that you get when you pre-order the game, and then people can't get in, like, that...
It's exactly, no. Because it was not a demo.
Right.
100%. It was a stress test for the servers.
Right, and don't put that as...
Yeah.
As an incentive. Don't give them your money early to then fucking... I mean, let's be real. You buy a game on release day, you're giving them your money to test their game.
Yep.
But this is even worse. Like, I mean,
yeah, this is worse.
Especially a game like Anthem that's going to live or die on things like that can only be fully experienced and stress tested in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fucking give them your money first.
Right.
Like,
because this game, for all intents and purposes, was broken over the weekend.
Right. And that's what they gave. That's what they took your $60.
Exactly.
And they said, you'll get this.
At the very least, what's your $5 if you just pre-ordered, put the $5 down.
Yeah, but still, just the whole idea. Because the thing is, it's not the $5. It's the psychology of it, right? Like, people go, well, I already have money down on it. I'm just going to go ahead and get it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what they're counting on, and it just it bugs me that this is, you know, they kind of offered this up as a pre-order incentive, and then people couldn't even get in, and they were just like, okay, well, we unlocked all the javelins. Well, who gives a fuck if I can't get in, or by the time I got in, I couldn't play it anymore because the fucking thing was over.
When I played it on Sunday, it made me be a ranger. I didn't have a choice.
Well, they did. It was on Sunday that they unlocked
it. Oh, okay. Well, it must have been later in the day then.
Yeah, it was pretty late in the day. But oh, I mean, okay. And even then, like, I honestly, like, I was like, oh, I should pre-order Division 2 because then that way I can play the beta. And I was like, who the fuck cares?
I'm not going to play the beta.
Who the fuck cares? I would play the beta, but here's the thing. I would still wait until reviews came out because I would want to know if, you know, the issues I had with the Division 1 were fixed. Mm-hmm. But also, how are the servers and all that shit? Like, I think they, you know, these game companies, they still, and it's because consumers do, like, it, this idea that you have to play shit as soon as it comes out, like, that's why Bethesda stopped sending out review copies. Because they just want you to go, you know what, fuck it, I'll just buy it. And then it turns out to be fucking Fallout 76 and you're left with shit.
Yep.
Like, don't do it, man. Just find, like, there's so many games out right now. Yes. That you can wait a few days to get some reviews, let people, you know, kick the tires and let you know whether or not it's any good. Don't fucking give them your money ahead of time.
Ahead of time. Exactly. Man, I rarely pay $60 for anything.
Right. And that's the thing. I do. Well, no, I don't. I buy full price, but I guess I get the discount. I get the game. I still get the Best Buy discount, so I don't. But even, I mean, I rent so much more now than I ever did before because I was just like, why? Like, half the time, I got more shit than I can play as it is. So why am I buying it? Why not just wait a week and it'll just come to me and fuck it? Who gives a shit? But this really bugged me because
It was a disaster, man. It really was.
And now they're saying, oh yeah, well, we expect there to be issues this week too. It's like, you know, your game comes out in like 3 weeks, right?
3 weeks.
Like your opportunity to convince people to buy your game is really this weekend.
Yeah. Yep.
But
and it's not done. It's not 100% complete. I mean, maybe they think it is, but this like, it's not like, it doesn't reek of like Mass Effect Andromeda bad, right. But it's not far off from that.
But also I'm like, why is it that you're using a build from 6 weeks out? Do they have the same certification process for fucking beta demos as they do for,
I don't know.
I mean, that makes no sense that they would do that. No, I mean, shit, I played Destiny first as an alpha, a fucking alpha.
Right here. Yep.
And I mean, you can't tell me that you're going to put an alpha through cert. I mean, there'd be no point. It'd never pass.
Right.
So, anyway. Let's see. So I'm still in the throes of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but I'm beginning to think there's too much game. I think it's too much game.
Yeah.
It's a lot. There's a lot of game. And when I think about everything I've done and what there's still left to do, and I'm just like, that's a lot of game. So,
yes, that was like a Ghost Recon Wildlands. Like, when I kept looking at that map, like, if I had not had that bout, like, that week or two of insomnia that I just couldn't fucking sleep, I would never have finished that game.
And I did. I did. And I the last third of that, I was like, ah, it's too much. And I kept going because I finished myself.
That's as close as I'm coming to 100%ing an open world game as that I've done in a long fucking time.
Well, you know what the problem is that I didn't realize I platinumed Origins.
Oh, really? I didn't either. Fuck. And I watched you play that.
I was like, fuck. Because once a precedence has been set, I kind of feel like,
oh, thank God I don't have that problem. I have one platinum trophy.
It's better now that I'm on the PlayStation, but it's still there. It's still there. But anyway. so we have a lot of movies to talk about, but there's something else. Oh, real quick, before we get into the stuff that we kind of both watched, I want to talk about two movies real quick that, so now that I have the NAS, I'm just like, fucking buy all the movies and put them on. Just get them. I ain't gonna lie, you can send the Phoebes to my house, but I have, on occasion, rented a movie from the Red Box, and for their own safety, ensured a backup was at my house.
Sure.
Ensured the Red Box and the Publix burned down, they can just come to my house.
Exactly.
And get, it's really, it's for them. It's not for me.
That's exactly why I used to make backup copies of every DVD I got from Netflix back when it was only a DVD service.
Exactly, because in the event of a catastrophic fire, the good people at Redbox will be happy to know.
I mean, how many copies of Audition did Netflix really have on DVD? Because that shit was out of print.
Exactly. So. Exactly. So one of the movies that I saved from the fire was Blindspotting, which I slept on when it first came out. And I heard it was great, and goddamn it, that movie isn't fucking fantastic. It was so good. As soon as I finished it, I ordered the Blu-ray because I was like, I don't feel right not having given these people my money. Just a fan, absolutely fantastic movie. Kind of billed as a comedy, but it's so much more. It's funny. Don't get me wrong, it is funny, but it's so much more than that. And the fact that it was not nominated for anything, because that's kind of how I remembered it again, is like all my on Twitter, everybody was like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah,
why isn't Blindspotting on here? And it's fucking great.
Yeah, I kind of had the same relationship with it, only I haven't watched it yet.
It is fucking great. It is so good. And then the other one I watched was Hunter Killer, which is the last Gerard Butler movie. And I need to go to a therapist to figure out why I am so invested in Gerard Butler's success. I've actually given this thought. I've said to my wife, I don't know why it bothers me as much as it does that this man can't seem to be cast in a good movie. Like, don't get me wrong, I fucking love Den of Thieves. I love that shit to death.
Still haven't watched it.
Dollar Tree Heat is one of my favorite movies of last year, and we talked about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I didn't even really like 300 all that much. It was okay.
I love 300.
But I don't know why I'm like, I think it's because every time I watch a Gerard Butler movie, I see kind of what they were trying to do, and I wanted it to be better. Like the two, like Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen, those are two fucking mean movies.
I don't like those movies.
they're not good. They're violent and they're just mean. And then, you know, at the same time, Olympus Had Fallen, the one with fucking Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum came out, and I was like, that's worse somehow.
That was pointless.
Yeah, that's worse. This is Rush Hour in the White House, which is not a good thing.
It was not a good movie.
But, like, I keep, and so I kind of want these movies to be better, and somehow now it has turned into, like, this house burned down. I'm like, oh, come on, man. This kid, dude, can't get a break. He's probably doing okay.
Yeah.
He's probably got a little bit of money. He's probably got more money than I do.
Yeah. I don't guarantee you has more than I do.
Jesus, I fucking hope so.
I stopped being a Gerard Butler apologist after whatever he did after Gamer. And I liked Gamer.
I like Gamer.
I did too. But it was whatever he did next. I was like, well, that wasn't good. And what, like, everything I've seen him in after that, I've been like, that wasn't good either.
And that's the problem, right? And I agree with you 100%, and I want them to be good, and I don't know why. I don't know why I am rooting for the underdog Gerard Butler. Like,
you're still on Team Gerard, and I fell off a while ago. So.
I got to look him up and see what was after Gamer. I have not seen Gods of Egypt, though. At least I'm not that.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Law-Abiding Citizen, was it that one?
What was that one?
That was Jamie Foxx, takes justice in his own hand after a plea bargain.
Yeah, I did not care for that.
I think I like that one. Oh, F. Gary Gray directed that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like that one. But I've actually seen a lot of his thing. Not Gods of Egypt, though, I'm not. And Robin said I need to watch Geostorm. And I will.
I didn't.
I will, because it's a Gerard Butler movie, and it has been recommended to me by someone whose opinion I respect. I'm prepared to be disappointed. Hunter Killer, again, firmly in the I wish this had been better. It was a submarine movie, and there was just things in it, and I'm just like, why are you making a big deal about this? You never fucking talk about this shit again. And it was fine. It was good in that it was like, I didn't, when I was done, I wasn't like, that was terrible, but I was just like, I don't ever want to watch that again. There's no real reason to.
So I didn't care for Law Abiding Citizen. And then I really didn't care for Machine Gun Preacher, because that was 2 hours plus of, me bored to fucking tears. And after that, I was like, you know what?
Mm-mm. I'm out. I'm done.
I'm done. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Nope. I hear you.
And I did give him another chance in Olympus Has Fallen and didn't like that either. So I was like, oh, that's it.
You know what else I watched that I was really disappointed in? And then I'm done, is Ocean's 8. You want to talk about, like, okay. First of all, I love everybody in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do a heist movie, you, one, there has to be stakes. And two, there has to be a point during the heist where you think, oh shit, they're not going to get away with it. Otherwise, you're just watching pretty people plan a robbery. You know, and that's exactly what this was. I was surprised. I was amazed at how there were absolutely no stakes at all to this movie. No feeling at all like they weren't going to pull it off. Like, not a bit. Like, at no point during Ocean's 8 was I ever concerned for the safety or well-being of anybody in this movie.
That's the cardinal sin.
Did I think they're not going to get away with it? Never once. And I'm like, so it was just watching, you know, some cool ass women just do a heist. But I mean, that's it, right? Like a heist, like that's the whole thing. That tension of, oh shit, is shit going to pop off? Or how are they going to get away with this? Or, and it had a little twist at the end, but the twist, I just was like, well, fuck, yes, of course. Why the, what? No. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, oh my God. It was just like, well, yeah, obviously, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'll spoil it. The twist was like, the thieves stole more than just what they said they would. Oh my God. Seriously? Thieves are going to pass up an entire room full of jewels? Good Lord, sir, you are a master of suspense. So, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. On to the things that we both watched.
Yes. Yes.
First up, you want to talk about It's Just a Game? That's what it's called, right?
I do want to talk about it. Yes, Just a Game, yeah.
Okay.
So thanks to our friend Justin, because we talked about this a few weeks ago. If anybody has a movie they want us to watch, or if you've made a movie and want us to watch it, please let us know. And to no one's surprise, we got no response from that whatsoever. But
I don't know if our core audience is the movie making type, to be perfectly honest.
I know. But I have friends who apparently do make movies, and this guy, Daniel Emery Taylor, that we've been mutual followers on Twitter for a while now, just based on like horror movies and stuff like that. We're into the same type of shit. He had done this tweet and it was like, hey, do you have a podcast or a blog, website, whatever? You know, I've finished my first movie, you know, let me know. And so my friend Justin tagged me in it. And so I had completely missed the tweet. Mm-hmm. And so I responded and I was like, hell yeah, man, here's our podcast. This is the name of it. You know, we're a very small podcast, but we love horror movies and we'd love to take a look at your movie. And so he was really, you know, he's really cool about it. And he sent along the link and I watched it. It's a movie called Just a Game. It's Just a Game. Super indie kind of thing. If you're not into the indie scene, you know, you may not know what to expect, but and honestly, like, I've seen a lot of these super low budget indie movies, and there are certain things I come to expect from them, and this movie had almost none of those. Like, it started off, I thought it was going to go one way.
Mm-hmm.
It had a twist which I kind of didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off, it's like this group of teenage girls, and they're doing like the slumber party thing, and they have like the Bloody Mary kind of thing.
Right.
And pranks each other, this and that. But I felt like the girls playing these characters, they felt genuine. Like the conversation felt genuine. Like, I didn't think anybody looked like they were acting.
Right.
They just felt like girls who were just talking to each other and pranking each other and this and that. And of course, there's a Mean Girls thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
With the one girl who's like the sort of snobby, the hot girl, so to speak, and she's picking on the girl with glasses, because there's always the girl with glasses
who's, sure, like,
you know, the outcast, but she's in the group, but she's not. And one thing leads to another, and it fucking, this movie turns into like it takes this twist where there's like a cult.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's these characters, and the urban legends are actually real. And there's the Skull Girl and Mother Murder, and like, it really takes off into this direction that I never saw coming. And it's really fucking well done. in a sense that, like, for what I assume the budget for this movie was, like, it blew my fucking mind. Like, there's lighting, there's ambient sound, there's, like, the
cinematography. Pretty good effects, too.
Yeah, like, there are practical effects that are really good. The cinematography is good. Like, there are, like, crane shots and shit. Mm-hmm. Or what? Look, I don't know. I'm not a critic. What looked like crane shots to me right off the bat, and I was just like, oh, this is, like, serious shit for, like, you know, a non sort of budgeted thing. Like, this, I would assume this is, like, he knew somebody who'd worked on something, or maybe he's friends with somebody who'd done some sound stuff or whatever, and they all just got together in their free time and made a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a couple of the story beats kind of lost me, particularly the
yeah.
twist.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
I didn't so much, I was kind of confused a little bit by the end, but overall I was super fucking impressed with it. And
yeah,
you know, really glad that he gave us the opportunity to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, making movies is hard. I mean, it just is. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Obviously money makes it easier, but there's a lot of work and time and effort goes into it. And so, you know, I definitely applaud, you know, that he was able to put together a 90-minute feature, start, you know, complete package, start to finish. You know, for me, I think that another, I don't know, some of the plotting kind of lost me too, and particularly some of the dialogue at some points I wasn't sure if it was supposed, particularly around the leader of the cult.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is this supposed to be a parody? Like, there were certain parts about it where I felt like I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be a parody or it was supposed to be serious. And for a movie like this, I feel like that has to be, like, clear.
Yeah.
What your vibe is, because if you're right. not going for parody, and it seems like it, obviously that kind of undercuts the seriousness of what you're trying to do. But right. if you're trying to be a parody, but it's not hitting, then that's not what people don't realize that. So
I tend to agree with that a little bit, because some of the interactions he would have with his underlings, brother, the brother and sister characters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't remember the name exactly, but
yeah,
there were times when they felt like, I felt like they were still doing like the, like trying to be all into like the be into the whole cult thing and shit like that. And he's like,
right.
yeah, well, if I wanted to, you know, fuck a teenager, I, you know, the mother would have given me one. Fuck right, out of right. here.
So like just that, like yeah. the way, kind of the way, like this real grandiose kind of way of speaking. It just, I don't know, like some of this stuff kind of undercut things to where, and it just like even like at one point, like the brother and sister there, like they're, you know, sitting down in the kitchen eating bread, would seem like dipped in a bowl of blood. Now it's like,
blood, yeah.
Is that supposed to be? Is that supposed to be gross? Is that supposed to be like a and so I think a little kind of tightening up of some of that stuff. Yeah. Would have gone a long way towards kind of saying, okay, this is the like just would have established a more consistent tone.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if some of that stuff wasn't to sort of drive home the fact of how fucking nuts these people were. But
yeah, but I like, think you can,
that was obvious that they were nuts already.
Right. So. And that's the thing, right? Like, I think you can, I think just that their actions and the fact, I mean, would have done that. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, if this is the first thing that this dude's made on this scale, then right. I mean, shit, he's fucking, sky's the limit for this cat.
Yeah. I was blown away by it because I didn't know what to expect. And like I said, I watch a lot of this kind of stuff. And I say this is the first thing he's done. This is the first thing that I knew of that he's done.
Sure.
But I was completely blown. My expectations were completely blown away for it. So like, and I even messaged him. I emailed him after the fact and let him know that we were going to be talking about it this week. And, I was like, look, man, again, not a critic. I just like horror movies. But I also asked him, had they had any kind of, talks about distribution or getting this movie out there? Because I've watched so many movies from like Wild Eye Releasing and these companies that put out this super indie type of stuff. And this is head and shoulders above shit that I know that like got released and sold in stores. So this thing needs to get out there and have more people watch it.
See, and I feel I agree with you, but I also feel like like almost like it'd be better to get some money and have like version 2.0 with a little more polish and just a little more tightening up of the script and certain kind of plot points maybe clarified or just, I don't know. I agree with you that I think this guy, like, it'd be great for his work to be seen more because I think there's definitely, you know, he's, you know, talent there. I don't know if this, as it is the thing for that.
Right. So the main comparison I sort of could draw to what my point is that is
but you watch more of the indie stuff than I do by far.
Like when I bought Homesick, Adam Wingard's first movie.
Oh, okay.
And I watched that movie and I'm like, it's entertaining. It makes almost no sense, but it shows that he's got the chops.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the exposure of that movie getting a release.
That's true.
Led to him fucking doing Blair Witch and You're Next and like, or whatever, like everything he's done.
Right.
After the fact. So if this movie being released leads to Daniel being the next Adam Wingard, fuck, put this motherfucker out.
Well, sure. Yeah. No, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm all for the next Adam Wingard. Yeah. No offense to the current Adam Wingard, but
sure.
Current Adam Wingard ain't been firing on all cylinders as far as I'm concerned, but
I know. I know. I liked Blair Witch and Death Note, but whatever.
I didn't have a problem with Death Note, but I mean, come on now. You see what he did with The Guest and then you watch Death Note and you're like, yeah, this seems good. Well, same thing with Blair Witch. You're Next and The Guest is probably my two favorite back-to-back movies by the same director because they're so different.
I do still really like A Horrible Way of Dying, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. They're so different, and it's just he takes, okay, I'm going to take a home invasion. Here's my twist on it. I'm going to take a slasher. Here's my twist on it.
Yep.
So, anyway.
But just one more time, just one more huge thank you to Daniel for letting us watch the movie. Appreciate that, man, so much. Looking forward to adding that Blu-ray to the collection.
And like Mitch said, if seriously, like for real, if you have something you want us to watch, we're not – I mean, look, if you've listened to this show, you know if I don't like something, you're going to fucking hear about it. So,
yeah.
But no, seriously, like, I mean, we love film. Like, we love film.
Yep.
I mean, it's my, I mean, games and film and I guess my family. They probably should be in there too somewhere, right?
Mine are okay.
Yeah, exactly.
They, you know, I get to see them.
No, but we love games and we love film, and so if you've got one and you want us to watch it, then fucking send it along. I'll sign an NDA. I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
So, but yes, thank you.
I'm easily impressed. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ, you want me to watch your movie?
But yes, thank you very much for sharing it. That was awesome. This is the first screener I've ever watched.
65 episodes when we got there.
Hey, you know what? When it happened, you know, fucking 4 years from now when his shit's at cons and I'm reading about how people walked out on it, AV Club, I'll be like, I watched his first motherfucking movie and here I am and I ain't done shit.
That's right.
All right, next up. Yep. What do you want to do next?
We could probably do Bandersnatch, which you affectionately referred to as the Babadook before we started recording.
No, not the Babadook. I call it the Babashook. Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. Not even the right thing. You're right. It is Bandersnatch, isn't it?
It's, look, yes. It's Benedict Cumbersnatch or whatever his name is.
Babashook is my favorite. It is the Babadook reimagined as the gay icon we all know that he is.
I know.
And I can't believe I did that. For years, look, y'all don't understand. For years, this is how you want to know how the Drunk Watch crew is, okay? For years, I called that motherfucker Junkyard for years. I called him Junkyard. And then one day we all also called him Junkyard. And somebody started laughing. And I was like, what? And they're like, is Junk Rat? And I was like, no, it is not. And I had to look.
I still call him Junkyard, and I'm pretty sure Gene does too.
I know. It's an infection is what it is. Yep.
Yep.
It's not Babishook, which would be awesome, by the way. That's the
I love that gif of him like twerking.
I know. Oh shit. And you know, Babadook is one of the few horror movies that I actually can't really bring myself to watch again because it fucks me up too much.
Yeah. So there you go. That's a rough watch, man. I've only seen it twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
But we have kids, and I think that's
a big Yeah. That it, you know, I've talked about before, that I've been there when your kid's fucking flipping the fuck out, and everybody's like, no, they're fine. And you're like, no, they are not. And then you're just like, well, maybe I'm the crazy one. But anyway, she's got a boyfriend now, so I got to go down that, or close to it. So I'm going to be going down that fucking road. So Babishook all motherfucking day long. But anyway, Bandersnatch, the choose your own adventure slash Netflix experiment that set the world on fire for all of a day because Netflix puts out 600 movies and TV shows every hour. So there's no time to spend thinking about shit. We got to watch Polar next, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Based on what you said before, I get the feeling that you really like this one.
Yeah, I did.
Are you a Black Mirror fan?
Nope.
So you have not watched
Black Mirror? God only knows why the multitude of people who told me I would enjoy Black Mirror have told me that when I put it on, and the very first thing I see is a guy fucking a pig. I'm like, you thought I'd like this?
So, side note, my dad, he is an old school manly man. Goes hunting, kills things for sport. And one year when I was freshman in college, he said, why don't you come down to the hunting cabin? We're going to go hunting and you can hang out while we're at the cabin. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you're going to meet this guy, this guy, this guy. But didn't name all their names. He named all their nicknames.
Mm.
Like one guy's name is Breadhead. And I said, I what? Like it. And they said his head is the size of a loaf of bread, and this motherfucker had the biggest head I've ever seen, and it was perfectly rectangular. It was some Boris Karloff Frankenstein shit. Okay, and then this other guy, his name is George, and I'm not gonna say his last name because I don't want to at least he says he's a pig fucker.
Gotcha.
And I said, why is his nickname the pig fucker? And he said, because he looks like somebody who would fuck a pig.
Ah.
So when I watched that first episode of Black Mirror, it's supposed to be, like, serious. And I laughed my ass off because all I could think of was the pig fucker.
George Pig Fucker.
Yeah.
I didn't laugh. I was bored for most of it and then
that
disgusted.
That is not their best episode. They have some real... Okay, that episode's not great. The episode with Daniel Kaluuya where he rides the exercise bike for likes.
Yeah, didn't like that one.
It gets really... San Junipero. Watch that shit. It's like season 4 or 5.
Yeah, and then I watched the third episode before I gave up. I watched the one where the people's eyeball cams record them and fuck around on each other. And I was like,
that one.
I didn't.
San Junipero is great. The Star Trek episode is fucking great. There are a lot of good, really good Black Mirror episodes.
Mm.
In my opinion, Bandersnatch is not one of them.
Okay. Well, you know how I am with television. Like, I don't watch television.
Yeah, but Black Mirror is like it. I mean, yeah, it's television, but it's like HBO, right? It's not TV, it's HBO. It's the same thing.
Right, but it's an hour of my life that I'll never have back when I watch a guy fuck a pig. I just
yeah, but you own Death House,
which I'll never watch again. Thank you, sir. You'll be able to use that argument against me forever if I say I don't want to watch.
I watched every episode of The Following. I can't say anything to anybody.
I got
ever
halfway through the first season of that, and I was watching it as it aired on television.
I watched all of it when I knew it was bad.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Bandersnatch, I thought wasn't. I mean, in terms of tying in this kind of meta idea of him feeling like he was being controlled because we as the viewer were the ones making decisions for him. Like, I like that part. That was definitely a very Black Mirror-esque part to it. And definitely, you know, I love that it was set in that kind of, you know, pre-Atari crash version of gaming that we don't, you know, we all kind of forgot about that, right? Like,
right,
you know, that where these games that sold, you know, hundreds of thousands of copies really were just programmed by like one person or two people. So I love that aspect to it, but honestly, I did not like having to pick. I just was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to have to make a decision. And then, you know, there was one point where, and I have not gone through and kind of read about all the different endings, but I got an ending, and apparently it was late enough in the story where I had the option to just go to the credits. Because if you make, so if you make the wrong choice early enough in the movie, they'll just be like, okay, well, they'll kind of show you, what decision point
you fucked up.
You fucked up, and it'll make you make another choice. Let you make another choice. But if you make a poor decision late enough in it, they will allow you to just go to the credits. And I actually was just like, maybe I'll do that. But I was like, no, okay, because I started treating it like a game. I was like, I want him to release Bandersnatch, the game.
Right.
So it was just a different kind of way of looking at things instead of just kind of saying, okay, well, like, how does this story kind of, you know, evolve organically, you know, going, okay, I'm going to try to game it and see if I can get, you know, quote unquote, the best ending, even though the best ending was not the best for everyone. Like, I did the whole thing and I was like, I'm going to do everything right. And they're like, nope.
Yeah. I love the story. I love the idea of a kid becoming obsessed with a book that was written by a guy who went nuts over the book and like murdering his wife and shit like that.
I feel like we've also seen that before.
Yeah, but not somebody making an Atari game based off
that's
of the
true.
Book.
Like, no, that you're absolutely right.
I thought that was interesting. I fucked it up on the third choice you could ever make. Literally the third choice. And they were like, well, you just fucked up. We're going back to the start. And I was like, oh, okay.
Which one was that one?
Where I chose to make the game in-house at the studio.
Oh, did you realize? I didn't realize I didn't realize that would fuck up. As a lark, I was just like, oh, I'll make it at home. And I thought for sure that would be wrong. And they're like, yep, sounds good.
I'm like, nah, bro, let me work here in the studio. People will help me. We got money.
We got free snacks. Yeah. I got Jamba Bandersnatch. Juice.
Bandersnatch on the 2600, bitches. It's going to be blowing up, son. You're making bank. And the movie's like, yeah, you fucked up. No, go back.
That's the thing, right? Like, every choice you make that is right, every choice you make to try to preserve this young guy's mental health, they're like, that is incorrect. And I'm like, you are sending the wrong message.
Yeah. Yes. I'll tell you. Did you do the one where he's talking to the psychiatrist and she's like, so you think somebody's controlling your actions, but instead of you having an attack, dad, you chose to come here and talk about it.
I did.
And then they did like the action movie ending.
No, I did not do that. I didn't get an action movie ending.
Yeah. So if you answered her a certain way at that point, he's like, you know what? You're right. And so he attacks her. And it turns into this fucking Jackie Chan fucking kung fu sequence.
Oh, shit.
And it ends the movie that way. It was so fun to do the different choice. For me, so fun to get the different choices. And I loved trying to explain what Netflix was to this kid who was, like, making a game in 1982 or whatever it was.
No, no. I was like, I'm going to take my pills. I'm going to go to therapy. Like, all this stuff. And mm-hmm. then they're like, no, that's not what we want. And
there's so much fun to be had if you pick the off the wall shit.
But that's the thing, and I think that I agree with. I could see where the fun in that would be, but none of the choices seemed off the wall to where, you know, maybe it was obvious. Like, okay, yeah, choose this really weird thing. Oh, it'll be so fun.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of where, you know, the game somewhat fails, or the game. Listen to me.
It,
you know,
is
the movie
game.
Kind
of
fails
at the end
that
of the day.
like I think it would have been better if it seemed like there was stuff that was obviously, you know, just kind of wackadoo, and
yeah.
then, you know, you were like, oh, okay, you know, this was, you know, I want to pick this ending as a goof, you know, just
right.
kind of see what happens.
Well, maybe I guess I just got lucky in my choices, because I had several things where I picked where this shit just went off the fucking rails.
And I didn't have any of that at all. I was just, they were just like, yeah,
oh, wah, wah,
you know, like sad trumpet, like,
yeah.
he's sane. You know, your game sucks. And I was like, fuck, man, this Cat in the Morning show, he's brutal. Like,
there was the one thing I picked.
There's no pleasing Colin.
Right. The one thing that I picked, and I wanted to go back because I made a wrong choice and it went away from it, was the whole thing where he was in an experiment and his parents were doctors, not his – they were actors.
I did that.
See, I fucked that up somehow. I went down that road for a minute, mm-hmm. and then I made a choice. And it was like, oh, no, back to this. And I was like, fuck, I wanted to see where that was going.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not. Maybe I won't watch it again then.
Yeah, it really doesn't go anywhere. Just
okay.
like at one point, they were like, you know, I'm looking for a sign. And you could either give that weird fork symbol or you could give PAX.
Yeah,
and I was
right.
like, I don't. I'm not. No, I don't. We're good. So, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I think because I've watched all of Black Mirror and I quite enjoy it, I kind of felt like if it was for a Black Mirror movie, it was a very, like, it just wasn't a great Black Mirror episode.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And then as a movie, I was like, well, I don't want to have to pick.
Yeah.
But like if you were watching it on like a TV, I guess what, you just used like your remote to pick?
I watched it on Netflix on the Xbox, so I just had the controller sitting here, so I just
did
whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it was meta. Like, there's a lot of, like...
Super meta, yeah.
I mean, Black Mirror kind of does that. You know, they sometimes will kind of blur the line.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ultimately, Black Mirror is about the intersection of technology and, you know, humanity. So I guess it succeeded kind of in that regard. As, like, a horror movie, I don't think it necessarily worked. Like, I don't know if people, sit back down and be like, I'm going to watch this again. I really feel like it was just kind of a novelty.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But
I mean, I want to watch it again, but I just want to make different choices and see what else I can make
happen.
Yeah,
but that's why, right? You're not invested in the story, and you're like, I want to watch this again,
well,
and you're just more like, oh, let's see what happens.
I ended up getting like three or four different endings, and it took me about 2 hours.
Yes, me too.
Total.
Yeah.
And I ended up with three or four endings, and like most of them, I was like, I don't think that was the good ending, but at least it's an ending. And then I was finally like, all right, that's enough after 2 hours. I'm good with where it ended. But at the same time, I was like, you know, the story was interesting enough to me that I kind of would like to fuck around with it and just see what else I can make happen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that. It's like in a game, right? When you have like multiple, you know, possibilities, maybe you go on YouTube and you're like, oh, well, you know, whatever.
I mean, like I said, even the book itself is a choose your own adventure book. And so
that was a huge fucking choose your own adventure.
Right. But this is exactly what this is. It's an interactive choose your own adventure movie.
I mean, I had choose your own adventure books, and I had one book. I swear to God, I never figured out how to get to one ending. I swear to God, that motherfucker, that was a cheat. There was no way to get to it, because I would always flip to the back and be like, wait, how the fuck do you get here? I don't remember. I remember some fucking dark-haired motherfucker and there's some temple on the cover. I don't know how the fuck.
Right.
But that Choose Your Own Adventure, that was like a phone book. That was like Game of Thrones Choose Your Own Adventure. Huge.
Bandersnatch, that book was enormous.
Anyway. Yep. All right. Last movie. You know what? We never actually talked about whether or not you've seen Glass, but you've seen Glass.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it.
Normally, that's one of the things we kind of talk about. Have you seen this? Yeah, I saw that. And but I guess I did. I don't know. Sorry. We're kind of all over the place tonight. So, did you when I saw Glass opening weekend. What about you?
Yeah. I had to wait till this past weekend because of call.
And was the theater pretty well packed or
no?
Okay. For mine it wasn't, but then it filled in. Like I thought it was going to be me and these two teenage girls, but then folks filled in.
Auburn's like that though. Like when I get to go to see movies, usually it's not opening weekend, and so when you go to Auburn and I go on like Sunday night and shit, there's never nobody there.
Yeah. So, I was disappointed. I'm not gonna lie.
Yep. Same.
You know it. What bothers me, and I haven't watched Unbreakable in a minute, but. Mm-hmm. What bothers me is that, you know, these movies use, you know, the central conceit is that comic books are not fictional stories so much mm-hmm. as they are like a retelling of kind of actual events.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he is so ignorant of the language of comics.
Yeah.
That it just completely, like, if you, and I talked to my wife about this, and I was like, look, I get it. If you don't know comics, maybe this shit makes sense to you. But if you know comics, you're just like, what the fuck? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And that, like, really kind of bugged me. Like, the whole, okay, like, we're going to spoil it. Like, I'll put this shit in the episode description. So if you're thinking about seeing Glass, you've been warned. Come back once you've seen it. But like the whole scene when like David Dunn's son goes to the comic book shop, right?
Yeah.
And they've got like the comics organized by heroes and villains. First of all, no one would ever organize their comics that way. And then he picks up a copy of The Whisper Man, and the cover is, who are his parents? Who the fuck cares? Seriously, who gives a flying fuck who the Whisper Man's parents are? First of all, what kind of rapey bullshit is The Whisper Man? You know he ain't talking in your ear to get you to rob a bank. He's looking to fucking smash with that power. Second of all, who gives a fuck who his parents are? Nobody cares. Like, the only... Because like, it was
number one, too, right?
The only villain I can think of who is, like, motivated by his parents is Dr. Doom.
Mm.
You know, because his mom went in a deal with the devil with Mephistopheles there, I think, and went to hell. That's it. And so he did all of his magic and technology to get her back. But heroes have daddy issues. Heroes have their parents or uncles or whatever get fucking murdered and whatnot. And that's what makes them become heroes. Like, Bane isn't a bad guy because his dad was an asshole. Like, that's just like fucking not how it works. So they're like, it's always the parents. No, that's real life shit where your parents fuck you up to the point where maybe you become a supervillain. That's not comic book shit.
Right.
And so, but then just like the different kind of language that he uses to describe, like, you know, the limited edition. I'm like, what do you mean limited edition? Do you mean like annual? Do you mean like limited series? Like, I don't, what the fuck, limited edition, these ain't a fucking pair of Jordans, motherfucker, it's a comic book, like, what are you talking about? Look, I didn't get it, and it bugged me, it pulled me right out of it, and maybe if you're not a comic book person, it wouldn't, but it fucking did with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I kind of understand, sort of. I think now, you're absolutely right with the comic book, the lingo that's used when it's actually talking about comics being off. But I think his idea is that he's trying to do real life, you know, comic book shit in real life, and nobody believes that. Even the people involved, even the people who are supposedly these heroes, nobody believes that but Mr. Glass. And Mr. Glass is so convinced that his life mission is to prove that this is the case. And so I think he's, for as much as like Nolan grounds Batman in real life, people still know that Batman is there, like, and it's a real thing. And, right. And I think him trying to do people so sure that superheroes aren't real, and this one lunatic swears they are, so much so that even other people who are superheroes don't understand that that's what they are. Like, I think he was trying to ground it but him being who he is and having his movies hold these twists and shit like that. Like this one, I felt like his movies work really well as one-offs when they do work.
Yes.
And trying to do, trying to force,
a connected universe.
Right. And he even said, right, he's like, apparently in interviews and shit, he was like, well, I promised Bruce and Samuel two other movies in this connected universe, and they've been waiting for this long. No, you didn't.
Right.
Like, I think having the overseer or whatever the fuck his name was, Bruce Willis, mm-hmm. show up at the end of Split was like a last minute decision.
Exactly. Like, and you know, I was thinking about this today. That is the one saving grace of Glass being a disappointment, is that it absolutely in no way takes away from your enjoyment of Unbreakable Split, because they are completely self-contained.
Yep.
You can watch Unbreakable and be like, that's a fucking good movie, because it is.
Yep.
And you can watch Split and be like, that's a fucking good movie. It is. And at the end, when David Dunn shows up, you're like, fuck yes. And you can never watch Glass.
Never watch this. Yep.
And not have your enjoyment of those two movies ruined in the least.
Yep.
You know, if this had been what he originally had planned, where like the Horde was somebody David Dunn brushed up against in Unbreakable, and then you've got to do all that shit, that would be a different story. So thankfully, that's not at all what happened.
Yeah. Because, like, I don't know, man. Like, and even I was super fucking excited at the end of Split when David Dunn shows
me
up.
Me too.
And I was like, fuck yeah, M. Night Shyamalan, comic book universe, let's go. And then this comes out. It's like, and I feel like Jace DM'd me, because I don't think he's seen it yet. And he's like, I just need to know if Glass has fuckery. And I'm like, all of Glass is fuckery.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
even the movie itself is it's there's fuckery within the fuckery. Like, mm-hmm. it keeps showing this fucking tower in Tokyo or whatever, and you're like, oh shit.
No, that was in Philadelphia.
Oh, wherever it was, the big tower they kept talking about. And I was like, oh shit, that's where the final showdown is. And it's like, no, parking lot.
Exactly.
The place we've been at the whole fucking time.
And here's like, the thing.
Are you serious?
Here's the other thing about that. I was like, wait a minute. Like, okay, first of all, they played fast and loof.
That's right.
Loof, motherfuckers. They played fast and loose with the staffing requirements of this fucking psychiatric hospital. I was like, at one point, I was like, is there really, seriously, like only one orderly who works there?
Yes.
And then they're like, no, it's staffed by all of these people who have never shown up for work except for now, because we need them to get thrown in a van. Right. They're like, what?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I guess.
100%.
And so it, and then, yeah, you're right. Like, the big fucking showdown is in a parking lot. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, I thought we were going to that tower we kept showing. It was,
but
like,
yet they mentioned that tower like it was a thing. Mm-hmm. Like it somehow all the solar panels.
Yeah.
Like, was a like superpowered.
Right. That's what, yeah, exactly. Like there was such like it's so pointed to this thing as being where the culmination was going to be. And then it happens in a parking lot. And then the other thing, this movie had too many twists. You know, we're all expecting that twist from this guy. Because you know, and I say this guy like I don't like his stuff. This I guy. Do like his
this stuff. Fucking guy. This look at you. You sound like you're The Sopranos.
Fuck twist. I know. I do like his movies. Like I liked everything up until The Happening. Like I even liked The Village and fucking The Lady in the Water or whatever.
Oh, Lady in the Water was so bad.
I liked it. I don't know why.
It was so bad. I've never seen The Happening.
Yeah, that one I didn't like. That was the first time I was like, eesh. And then he did fucking Avatar, and he kind of went off the deep end for me a little bit. But then he brought it back with The Visit. I like Devil.
Oh, The Visit was great. Yeah. The Visit's great.
And so I was like, when he did Split, I was like, oh, he's back. And I was really excited for this.
Guess who's back?
But like, first of all, like, as soon as Sarah Paulson shows up, I was like, oh, shit.
You know, here's the thing. I can respect her as an actress. I cannot stand her, though. Like, I don't know what it is about her that I, you know, actually, I know exactly what it is. When she was on fucking, not whatever show Aaron Sorkin did after The West Wing, News Radio, it wasn't News Radio, I know that, but whatever fuck news TV where she was supposed to be on Saturday Night Live, their version of Saturday Night Live, and she was the least funny person I've ever seen. Like, her big thing was she sounded like a dolphin. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not a huge fan of Saturday Night Live, but she is not funny in the least. And the whole show was like patterned around, oh, look, she's Christian, and they make fun of religious people. Derp-de-doop. And I'm like, who gives a fuck? Right.
Well, like, I didn't see that.
And that's not her fault at all. That's not her fault. But I was like,
my thing for this was, from the very first minute she stepped on screen and she told what her, like, her job was,
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, she worked for some kind of a secret agency that tries to keep superheroes under wrap.
Oh, seriously?
There's no fucking way that the government sends in this person who specifically studies people who think they're superheroes.
I never even thought of that.
Good God. Oh, it's like she's in S.H.I.E.L.D. or some whatever his version of S.H.I.E.L.D. is right off the fucking bat. I was like, this isn't fooling me for a goddamn second. It's like,
well, you're smarter than I am because I didn't even. God damn it. I just was like, and she was in Ocean's 8 too. And I was like, nope.
Yeah. Like, that was my biggest thing with this movie. I was like, there's no twist. The only twist was that the Beast's dad was on the train. I didn't guess that. The rest of it, fuck this movie. Well, I knew exactly what was going on. This is bullshit. I kept waiting for the thing that was going to blow me away. And I was like, oh, parking lot fight scene. Yep.
Yeah, that was really disappointing.
And she works for an agency that keeps superheroes under wrap. Called it.
See, that I did not pick that ahead of time. So you're definitely smarter than I am. But
that's not true.
I was extremely disappointed that the big showdown occurred in a parking lot. That made no fucking sense. I'm like, wait, what? Like,
and hated how it ended. So
yeah. Well, again, like I said, we're spoiling this shit. So first of all, everybody dies.
Yep.
Apparently, if you get shot in the fucking heart, you can talk for a good 15, 20 minutes. So don't worry. Don't worry about, you know, making sure your loved ones know that you love them when you leave the house. If you get shot in the heart, you'll have plenty of time to call them on the phone, talk to them.
911.
You can probably write. Yeah. You can write a nice letter, maybe maybe paint something. Maybe do like a Instagram or Facebook post and be like, oh, LOL, been shot. Peace out. Yep. Whatever.
Don't miss y'all.
Maybe make grocery list so your family for the next week don't
have
to
worry. If you haven't prepared a will, not a problem.
Exactly, right. You exactly. Got time. Call your lawyer.
Yep.
Exactly. Figure all that shit out. So everybody dies, including David Dunn, who got drowned in a puddle, which is very...
In a puddle.
And they, how many times did they show that fucking puddle on the screen, though? I was like, are we... Right. Like, they're just like, this right here? It's important.
Remember this puddle. And also, I've never drowned anybody, but like, are you supposed to continually pull them out to let them catch a breath?
That's how they drown people in the movies, though.
That, okay, well, I didn't.
That's how they do it. Did you ever notice that? Nobody ever just like shoves them in there, waits 30 seconds, and is like, "We're good." That was like, "Oh no, 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 no! Oh no, 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 no! Oh, you know, like they fucking toy with them." And second of all, like, nobody else in that parking lot was like, wait a minute, you're SWAT, you're dragging him 20 feet over to the smallest body of water that is here, and you're like, that's, at that point, that seems like maybe. And then
the son is never like, hey, don't do that.
Right.
It's like, can you help my dad?
Yeah.
Can you help my dad? And they're like, nah, we're just going to shove his face in this puddle.
Yeah. And then later on, like, oh, she's just like, talks to the staff. She's like, let's just keep where we murdered that man in cold blood between us. We don't want this to get out. You don't want to ruin. We got a good thing going here. Yeah. Come on now. Let's not, you know, you saw him push that man's face into 6 inches of water. Let's just, you don't want to lose your vacation.
Right.
But I was kind of surprised at that. But then here's the thing, right? So the movie ends and Mr. Glass was 10 steps ahead of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually was streaming from the hundreds and thousands of video cameras to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to release it. And everybody was going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And not immediately forget it, because our world is a constant barrage of horrible events delivered to you by your fucking cell phone.
Listen,
what world does this motherfucker live in? We can't go 30 fucking seconds without the leader of the goddamn free world talking about how women are brought on camelback with fucking duct tape across the goddamn southern border. Are you fucking kidding me? Nobody would give two fucking tin shits. We got deep fakes where you can, at any point in time, you can go on YouTube and you can watch Scarlett Johansson and Christian Bale fuck the shit out of each other. And we're supposed to believe that some motherfucker twisting a steel pipe with his bare hands is going to get people in a train station to bat an eye? Fuck you. Oh my God, where the fuck have you been? We do not live in that world.
Yes, we do. In the Shalamalan verse, he's Professor Xavier. That was fucking Cerebro. Come on.
Oh my.
We're going to have superheroes coming out of the woodworks.
God, what? I was like, are you not aware of the, like, giving most Americans a 30-second attention span is giving them 29 seconds of credit. Are you fucking kidding me?
And then the survivors go to the train station
and
waiting
all
on the
hang
superheroes
out together.
To show
and
up.
Why was their his idea of old age makeup putting crazy glue on this bitch's face? That was some elementary school shit where you'd put the Elmer's glue on your face and you're like, look, my skin's coming off.
I know. When she had Mr. Glass when she was like 4?
That's a virgin birth shit right there. That's what that was. She's like, I had him as a 5-year-old. Preschool was difficult. But that, and that's, you know, and that's the funny thing is I you know, that is not just this movie. The Hollywood in general seems to not understand that people's attention spans when it comes to social media are just incredibly short, and whatever is like the big thing now, and I mean I literally mean like right now, this second,
mm-hmm.
half an hour from now, it ain't gonna be a thing.
Oh.
And part of it is because we are constantly bombarded with all this shit.
100%.
Good or bad.
Yep.
So when he's just like, oh, and they're like, they waited 2 hours. I'm like, what the fuck was going on in that 2 hours?
Right. Good God. That was the other thing, right? This was way too fucking long for what it was.
Yeah.
They spent so much time in the sanitarium or whatever.
They really did.
Doing nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, especially Mr. Glass. They were like, oh, he rolled 2 feet further tonight. How'd you get out? Go back to your room.
Right.
I was like, motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
Can he just not get all the way the first night, maybe, and let's cut 40 minutes out of this?
I mean, I, 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 you know, I kind of liked the idea that, you know, maybe, you know, she was getting in their heads.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
not
kind
Mr.
of that
Glass.
Idea where she was actually like, hey, let's kind of take a quote unquote nonviolent approach. Let's just convince them this stuff isn't real.
Yeah.
And and I liked kind of that aspect of it. But like you said, it just took kind of way too long. Like, I mean, David Dunn, I don't know. Like, it just seems to me, even if they're going to spray water on you, you could fuck those pipes up pretty goddamn quick.
Seriously. It was interesting how she sort of used what she knew were their weaknesses, but also she knew where those weaknesses came from. And so she knew how to sort of manipulate them using that and be like, right. Well, couldn't it just be this?
Right.
You know, that was cool if you didn't know already that she was full of shit. So, like,
right. But I mean, the best, honestly, the, you know, James McAvoy continues to be, I mean, amazing. his work in both of these movies is fucking impressive.
It's just worth watching just for him.
Yes. I mean, being able to switch seamlessly. Like, there were scenes where it was just like, you know, bam, 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 you know, switching back and forth.
Right.
And he just was fucking great.
Right, and because, the Horde is, what, 30-something characters or whatever it is?
Yeah.
And the first one we only saw maybe 10. This one he was like, yeah, I did 23.
Yeah, like, and he, I mean, and that was the cool thing, is there were personalities here that you saw that you did not see in Split.
Right, right, yep. And he didn't miss a fucking beat between that one and this one. He's spot on the same, it's the same character you remember from Split.
Which makes it all the more disappointing that all of the modern X-Men movies are fucking trash. They're just boring.
I like them.
Yeah, I mean, how do you waste Oscar Isaac like that?
I know. Well, yes, Apocalypse was not good, but I like the other two.
I don't know. I've tried watching them so many times. Like, that's X-Men movies are the Gerard Butlers for me of superhero movies, where I just am like, I'm going to give them a shot over and over again. And then I'm like trying to convince myself that I actually like them. And I'm like, you don't. It's fine.
Well, and it's interesting, like you say that, and I've seen First Class like twice, and I think I've seen the second one maybe twice.
I think the second one's better than First Class.
I don't actively watch them, so I remember liking it, but if you asked me to explain either one of them to you, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, I get it.
I have to watch Death House again. I don't have time for that shit.
You do. You're absolutely right. You gotta watch that 20-minute shower scene where nobody uses soap.
Damn right.
Like, you know, you're just rinsing off, right? You're not clean.
Well, they were having a conversation. They didn't have.
They
time
really to were. Up. You know. Here's the thing. Here's just to give you an idea of the cinematic masterpiece that is Death House. You got two naked people, guy and a woman, and I was looking at his tattoos, like. I was not looking at her boobs, which were there quite a bit. I'm looking at his tattoos going, oh, that seems like a nice design. I wonder where he got that. You know, like,
Same.
And that's not me maturing as a human being. I am mature as a human being. So, anyway. So, what is next for us?
Well,
I know what's next.
What's next? And I'm excited.
Motherfucking double feature.
It's a Suspiria double feature.
Hell yeah, I got that shit. I got both of them queued up. I'm ready to go.
I started the new one and I stopped because I wanted it to be fresh for the next show. So I'm going to watch.
Yeah, that
was
my concern. Like last time, because I'd forgotten about Babashook, I watched it on Friday and I was like, man, I hope I fucking remember this.
Yeah, so I'm waiting. I'm waiting till next week. Or not the week after next. I'll watch it probably a couple of days before we do our next show. So I'll be ready to talk about it. And I've seen the first one so many times.
I was going
to
say how many, cause I'm going in cold. I've never seen either one. How many times have you seen the original?
I couldn't even tell you. I like it a lot. I've seen it a lot. It's one of those ones that, it frequently shows up in my October rotations because it has a super October feel for me. So I saw it in high school, and I would probably say I've watched it at least every other October, if not every October since high school.
Do you watch it in the Italian with subtitles, or do you watch like an English?
No, I watch it like an animal because I had it on VHS forever, and it was only in English. And it wasn't until like I got the whatever special edition like DVD like years later that I had the option to watch it in Italian. But I was so used to it the other way that I pretty much always watch it in English.
Mm-hmm.
I did get the 4K Blu-ray a few months ago, and I have not watched that version yet. So I'm probably going to pop that in before the next show.
You mean the remastered?
Yeah, the 4K remastered Blu-ray, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Because I only had it on DVD and VHS before that came out. I didn't have the original Blu-ray that came out because it was just like it was basically the same transfer from the DVD, but on a Blu-ray, and because they like to do that shit. And I was just like, I'm not paying $20 for what I already own,
right?
On a different kind of disc. And so I waited because I knew they were doing a 4K, and I knew it would be released that way. So I waited for that, but I haven't actually watched that yet because my gaming backlog like pales in comparison to the movies I've bought and actually haven't watched. So mm-hmm. I'm probably going to watch both before we do the next show.
Yeah, I have them. I'm all set. I'm all set and queued up. So I'm ready to go because if I'm going to watch a foreign movie, I prefer to do it in the original language.
Yep.
But a lot of times I watch the stuff while I'm working, and mm-hmm. subtitles are just difficult. Like, I'm super excited. I've watched all the seasons of Narcos on Netflix. I think it's actually one of their best original shows, but like 75% of it's in Spanish. So it's kind of hard for me to watch kind of while I'm working. So I was kind of like, well, I have, you know, version of Suspiria, the original I have with the original Italian and the English. And I'm like, well, I mean, the voice actors are never as good.
Right.
But I may end up, like you said, watching like an animal just so that I can.
Again, never really had the opportunity to watch it that way. I can say that it's not bad, but I think the general consensus is though that it's really not that bad in the English dub.
Right, right.
So,
So that'll be next, and then you know, kind of whatever else pops up between now and then. I guess I'll have a chance to play Anthem. Hopefully, maybe.
Yeah.
So I can
fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. I know that y'all are waiting for my take because that's a purchasing.
I'm interested because that'll go a long way towards not only which system I pick it up on, but if I pick it up at all. Because if you end up digging it, then I'm sure I'll grab it.
Well, I mean, right now it's in my queue. I mean, here's the thing. You know, that's the fun thing about Gamefly is like, fuck it, I'll rent anything. Who cares? It's not money. It's just time. And, you know, I can play something for a few hours and then just go, fuck it, ain't my thing. So,
right.
I have it in my queue, and you know, with a lot of other things. That reminds me, are you going to play Resident Evil 2?
Yeah, eventually. It's definitely on the list, the short list.
Mm-hmm.
I held off on it just because I knew you and I were going to do the Division 2, and it seems like there was something else.
There's a lot of stuff in February and March.
It's crazy. Oh, yeah. Metro.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sure. Which one of those I wanted to do more, because Resident Evil 2 is my second favorite game. Well, my third favorite game of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I'm sure this is an amazing remake of it. But that being said, I still feel like it's a game I've already played. And I love Metro.
Yeah,
I fucking love those games. And I'm kind of more excited for a new Metro than I am to play Resident Evil 2 again.
Mm-hmm.
This might be blasphemous, but...
No, between the two, I have no interest in playing Resident Evil, but I'll play Metro. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I loved Resident Evil 7 because it was a new Resident Evil, but this isn't, to me, new Resident Evil.
Right.
So you know, down the road, I'll grab it, I'm sure, when it gets down to $40 or so. but for $65, it's not something I'm dying to play right now.
Right, right. So that's it for us. It's been episode, what did we say, 65? We appreciate you hanging out with us. And remember, you can always catch me streaming most nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, Friday nights at 10, we do Drunk Watch. Although this week, we're going to try some PUBG.
Shit.
So that should be a hoot and holler.
That's, hey, if you listen to this on Friday and you want to play some PUBG tonight, you know, get at us. We'll be on.
Absolutely. On the Xbox, 10 o'clock. We'll be there. But whatever we do next episode, hopefully you'll be here with us. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. I got to find the button so I can make sure it doesn't sound weird. Hold on. God damn it. this has been episode 65. Thank you again. Good night. And have a good evening.